Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Evan Cohen on a Thursday? Well, we took a lot of calls on Tuesday because the Packers played on Monday edition. You're not going to give up play calling, are you? Edition. And more importantly, I was channeling my inner Bruce Willis. If you're old enough for the movie Die Hard, famous Christmas movie from, I think, 87? Do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza? Matt LaFleur not ordering a pizza. You'll hear that momentarily. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Apple and Android app stores, and where I continue to send folks. It is really easy functionality-wise. I like it a lot. I was a Spotify guy, too. I'm still eagerly awaiting resolution of that. So is Tausch. But in the interim, no. Please keep going.
No.
To the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I'm with you, Jason. Let's go ESPN Wisconsin. Let's go with the app. Spotify. Blech. Are we on board with that or not?
Spotify. Yeah, I mean,
it's been 2 months. To blank with him.
Yeah. My thought is that I always want to meet people where they are, and I am willing to adjust to do that. But this is, I want to reiterate, that
if somebody's in a gutter, I don't want to meet them down there. I want them to come up. What are you talking about, meet where they're at? No!
I meant the people that consume our content. I didn't necessarily
mean everybody
in the world. Hey,
Johnny's in prison. I want to meet him where he's at. I'll hang there. No,
hey,
I'm good.
Minute.
I'll come say
hey,
hello.
Hey,
I'm not
hey,
staying
whoa.
There.
You wanted to go have a jailhouse interview with Darren Sharper. So you
but
didn't
I'm leaving.
Meet him
I'm not going to stay there. You said meet them where they're at.
Well,
no, I'll visit with them where they're at, and then I'm going to get the heck out of there. I'm not interested in living in a gutter or a sewer or in prison. So that whole meet them where they're at, I think visit them where they're at, understand why they're there, and then we can kind of figure it out. But I'm not interested in you're the last person that's that. You don't even leave your house.
Could we do that Darren Sharper interview?
I would still go do that. Sharper
still on the interview. Table, right?
I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay.
Meeting where you're at.
You can meet me here.
ESPN Wisconsin app. It's great.
Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studio, having returned from the Vortex campus in Barneville.
I'm a meet them where they're at guy.
What? You know what I meant. And from his undisclosed location, where we meet him most days on this program, it is the Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I'll meet you where we're at. Hey, Jason, we're heading out to Vortex, an awesome place with golf and with scopes and great. No, I can't meet you where you're at. I'm going to stay where I'm at.
I had to cover the team. I had to be there to ask Matt LaFleur questions
you said
yesterday.
When you said it, it made me cackle. That's all.
Oh, I'm aware.
And you got me all fired
I'm aware of the impact that it had. Thank you for letting me know.
Oh, Jason, meet me where we're at as long as it's somewhere really bad. That's what I just learned from him, Jesse, right there. Jason, as long as it's not somewhere too nice, I'll meet you there. Fair?
You can listen to the show on a variety of platforms. You can read my work on channel3000.com. And this is why I have all the social media channels for people to yell at me and tell me I don't ask harsh enough questions to the head coach. Well, in my own way, I tried to do that yesterday. So we have Evan Cohen coming up at 9:30. I'm not going to preface either of these with too much yakking, which is a word I apparently do too much yakking, according to some. So first, then we'll take our big yak, yards after the catch.
By the way, there's nothing wrong with being a yak guy. If you're a wideout, you want to be a yak guy.
Yeah, it would be nice if Luke Musgrave was a slightly more yakky guy. They wouldn't have had that fourth down that the Eagles were calling out.
Hard on Luke Musgrave.
I'm
mad because he won me a Steinhoffels last week. Is that what you're mad about?
There's no way, given the bar, that you won the Steinhoffels. Bo Melton, even with his drop and his penalty, deserved to win. I never saw that. I don't think they awarded anybody one. I think there were no winners last week.
I think I got the 3 points, but that's neither here nor there.
I mean, Bo Melton.
If I didn't.
If it's a participation award, Bo Melton wins.
Yeah, Bo Melton dropped a critical fourth down.
He also did
and
more.
He had a penalty.
He did more negative, but he also did more positive than all of your picks.
No, he didn't.
He definitely did. My guy, I don't even know if John Fitzpatrick. I know John Fitzpatrick was on the field.
He missed a couple blocks. That's what he did.
Luke Musgrave missed a block on fourth and one.
No, he didn't block. Right. They don't even have him in there to block. They don't even put him in there. Oh, Musgrave's in. It's probably a pass. That's more how that goes.
All right. So we had some fun at Matt LaFleur's expense. Certainly Twitter did.
So, Jason, can you take me inside your mindset? Because you were nervous about doing this yesterday. LaFleur coming off a bad loss. And people – nah, you were jittery. You asked me three times. That's when I know you're jittery.
Little jittery.
LaFleur coming off a bad loss. People calling for his job. Schneidman asks him if he thinks he's going to get fired. So it was a delicate little dance that you did. And you got him to smirk and laugh, which – so tell us how you went about it.
So I feel like I have my own style. And if you're looking for someone who is going to be concise and confrontational,
not your guy.
I'm not your guy. Exactly. But again, I think there are what did PETA want us to say instead of skin a cat, feed a cat or something.
Something about beating a horse or something.
Feed a fed horse and scones and whatever else the list was that they sent out years ago. I think there's ways to get good answers that are more effective. And I do think, and let me be
you
clear.
You grassland butter people up. You're a butter guy.
I'm a butterer.
You're a grassland butter guy.
Somewhat. But I also like to use humor. Occasionally I use profanity if I feel like the situation calls for that. But as I tell you time and time and time again, in my mind, I am trying to find the best question to get the best answer. Sometimes there is no choice. You have to be direct.
Occasionally I use profanity. Sometimes I just love to let the F-bombs fly.
I think Jesse, I have sent Jesse some audio of interviews I've done where he does realize that there is profanity.
Yeah, there's
there.
Editing
it's not
required.
Frequently. Yeah. So my point is that I will always say, and I mean this, and I believe this wholeheartedly, it's about the answer. And actually, yesterday, I thought it worked. I thought it worked because what I did, well, we'll get to the second one later. I want to get to the meme one, because that was the one that, as we discussed with you guys at Vortex, which was so much fun, by the way, and Vortex Jim was phenomenal.
Or Joe.
Vortex Joe was even better.
God dang it.
Yeah. Vortex Jim was average. I thought Vortex Joe was great.
Jim is one of the veterans that they were celebrating. Vortex Joe.
I don't know, Jim. I don't know, Vortex Jim.
I think that's what sneaked in there.
I don't know, Jim.
None of us know Jim.
Literally. We don't.
I'm rattled. Let's just play it. Here is the exchange yesterday about the memes and about Matt LaFleur turning his back on the field to try and figure some things out with his offense.
I know you're too busy to be spending time on social media, but I think some folks...
It's probably a good thing, right?
I think some folks had some fun with the shot that Monday Night Football had of you on the tablet and jotting notes down. I'm curious...
Yeah, I didn't see that, so...
I think the one where it had you ordering a pizza was funny.
Okay.
I was
not ordering a pizza.
So I've seen you go to Jordan a bunch on the bench to talk about what you want to do the next series, but when the defense is on the field, is that something you've done before where you're trying to just focus on, all right, I need to come up with some other ideas? Does that say what you feel about Jeff, that you can do that and feel comfortable that you're not missing anything?
I've done that since I've been here. Similar things. It just happened to be that I was taking the tablet back and wanted to write something down, and I felt that whatever that cart was or whatever was a good desk. So I wrote some things down and kept it moving.
So the reason I asked about it is because clearly you're trying everything to get the offense going, and there's frustration for everybody. But wasn't it just 2 weeks ago that you put up like 28 in the second half and in Pittsburgh? Like, do you have to keep... I understand it's a week-to-week league.
That's the best way. I have to keep it in perspective, and it's week-to-week. And certainly, I mean, I promise you, as frustrated as anybody may be out there, I promise you, you're not as frustrated as I am. So, but I also got to keep, you know, I believe in our guys. And so, you know, it's all about just finding solutions, and I can't worry. What has happened in the past, it's happened, unfortunately. So there's no reason in just, like, beating yourself up over it. You better have a short-term memory, and you got to move on. Not to say that you don't take that into account. Certainly you study the tape, and you try to be critical of everything, from yourself to just the play and all and everything in between. So, yeah, we're working hard at it. I promise you, we're working hard. And, you know, bottom line is, on Sunday, we have to go out and perform better.
All right, Tausch, having heard how he responded to that, what do you think?
It's a great answer. The writing it down on a desk, it's what he did. I mean, it's bad optics. I think he recognizes that, and you bringing it up, but it is a week-to-week league. I don't know, and he can't answer it probably the way he would if it was not on Packers.com and to be distributed everywhere. I think the thing he's probably struggling with is the how do we replace what Tucker brought to this offense?
Mm-hmm.
Because that, in essence, is what is, I think, holding back what this group has done the last week and a half, you know, the last really seven quarters. Because again, I think we saw Monday night a pretty inept offensive performance. I don't feel that same way about the Carolina game. I wasn't saying
right.
How uncreative. And I really think last week it was, I don't know what the answers are. I'm searching, and that's why I have my back to the field. you don't want to not show confidence in your guys, but the guys have to earn that confidence from you as a coach. And right now, with Golden being out, and then obviously with the Dobbs injury and no Tucker, I really think he is searching for solutions. And I think Jordan is too. So it's a tough place to be, but it's a challenge that I think the really good coaches will absolutely love to try and figure out. I think he didn't seem, you know, you're always kind of looking for body language and how a coach is, and I know players see it when they come in from meetings. I love the fact, Matt LaFleur, I couldn't tell, if, just in that clip, and I didn't watch the whole press conference, but just in that clip, I couldn't tell that our offense stunk and we didn't do anything last week against Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I don't want mopey LaFleur. I'm going to solve problems LaFleur. And everybody is due a bad day. Everybody has bad performances. It then shows, what are you going to do about it and how do you react? That's how you win in both sports and in life, is when you get knocked down, how do you get up? How much are you going to persevere? You're not going to let something break you down. That was a tough showing, and Matt LaFleur knows it. Now the question is, what is he going to do about it? And it feels like to me I don't know if he has answers, but he's certainly not crawling in a hole, mm-hmm. going where the Ninja Turtles are in the sewer. He's saying, I'm going to stay. No, we're going to figure it out. Don't know how yet, but we're going to figure it out. And then, you know, obviously the test is going to be on Sunday to see if you've actually figured anything out.
All right, so that was one of the exchanges. The other one.
Do you believe that he hasn't seen the memes? You believe nobody showed him that? Because he, you believe that?
Well, in fairness to him, you know, I phrased it as you probably have not been on social media. So I kind of assumed, kind of like the play calling question, which we'll get to next.
Someone in his family had to show him.
I'm going to say that he may not have seen the pizza one. I didn't even see that. Maybe he saw the Fruit Ninja one. Or maybe he saw some of the other ones that someone showed him. But, you know, again, doesn't change the fact that he knows, he is fully aware it's out there. Because, look,
yes,
let's be honest.
That's my point.
Jason Waller's clearly, the PR director, clearly prepped him for that question. Like, hey, somebody's going to ask about you having your back turned to the field because they showed it on TV. Right?
Correct.
I mean, he knew that was coming.
Yes.
So he was clearly prepared for that. Just like I know that Tausch telling us about Pella Windows and Doors is coming right now.
Indeed, when it comes to your home, the smart play, trust Gina Della and her great team at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. This month only, score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month with zero interest for up to 72 months. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to the incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping all of the drafts. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
All right, that is part one of the Matt LaFleur show, which was not at Ruth's Chris like the Jesse Nelson show is. Part two is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
If you have been commenting in the YouTube comments, I haven't seen them. So if you're, but let me preemptively say, this is not performative. I want to get answers for you, the fan. And I thought that this worked yesterday. So I'm prepared for the critiques I will dive in there. So if you want to get your shots in as a dweller, get ready. I'm going to be reading them soon, but not yet. Part two, which was actually chronologically part one, was this exchange about, because Tausch, we can agree, not only was he never giving up play calling, but it's not like there's a better alternative on his staff, right? Luke Musgrave fired from two different offensive coordinator jobs, and it's nothing against Luke. Those were two dysfunctional franchises that he worked for. But Steno, Jason Vrabel, I mean, none of those guys have proven play calling track records. I'm not saying that Steno couldn't be a good play caller if he ever got the opportunity beyond preseason games. I'm saying that there's no evidence that would say that him calling plays would be better.
Sure.
So I never expected that. I am curious, and I was kind of setting him up a little bit with the way I phrased this exchange.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, the big setup.
Here it is.
Matt, you always say it begins with me, right? First of all, you're not going to give up play calling, I assume.
No.
I'm not suggesting you should. My question is, what can you do better then? Because you're always...
Well, yeah, I think it always starts. You have to look inward. And, you know, I think, especially when you go against teams that are good football teams, and the complexion of each game is going to be a little bit different in regards to sometimes, like I told the team today, I don't care if we win 3-0 or 49-48. Bottom line is, we have to find a way to get it done. Otherwise, you get criticized, and that's just the way it is. So I think that especially as the play caller, you're trying to put people in the best position possible to go out there and have success. And when we're not having collective success, then you're constantly, you have to challenge yourself to do better, to find something else in order to go out there and move the ball and score points.
All right. First of all, I don't think I'm having a stroke. But now I've said Kansas City when I meant Cleveland yesterday, and today I said Luke Musgrave when I meant Luke Getsy. I'm a little bit worried about this. I think I need to make sure that I'm taking my vitamins.
I'm really proud of myself for not. I wanted to jump in and correct you and say, you know what would have been great? If Luke Musgrave's calling plays, why doesn't he dial himself up more? But I didn't.
Well,
because I wanted to be a good teammate.
It would have been a good line, though.
It would have been. And then I would have said, well, he would only call pass plays because those would be the only ones he'd be on the field for. That notwithstanding, no one expected him to give up play calling, certainly not me. Luke Getsy was with two teams where he was not very good, did not have a lot of success. But LaFleur always says it starts with me. Well, then what the hell are you going to do about it, right?
Yeah, that tough guy.
I mean,
yeah, what the hell are you
going to
do about it, Matt? Tough
that would have been the alternative. That would have been the alternative way to ask the question.
You're such a meathead. Oh my god! What are you gonna do about it, tough guy? Run the ball, huh?
Why don't you run the ball a little more, Mr. Predictable? I don't know. What do you think? You think he's Luke Musgrave's play calling notwithstanding? Do you think that he has answers, or that he is at least working toward them? Going back to your point about losing Tucker Kraft and being a little bit lost on how exactly to execute the offense more effectively.
Yeah, he's got to spread things out and he's got to go tempo. If he doesn't start doing some of that stuff, you don't have your tight end. You're not going to want to do as much inline stuff. Your guy Fitzpatrick, yeah, it's nice, but you told me about all these wideouts. All right, let's go. Let's see it. Golden, if he's back, let's go. You wanted more touches. Quota, let's get him some touches, right? You wanted Chris Watson, got to get him a bunch of touches. Dobbs, well, here you go. You have to figure some of that out. And by the way, I don't for a minute believe Matt LaFleur to say he is more than content winning a game 3-0. Like, that is just not, no. There's no. Like, he wants to win. Totally believe that. But come on now. You think he's going to be sitting here? He's not happy. I mean, they lose 10-7, and the world has fallen to an end. You think if we win 3-0, everybody's going to be stoked about it?
Maybe if it's in a major snowstorm.
Maybe. But let's not kid ourselves on that. So do I have confidence in Matt LaFleur? I do. But I can totally understand why some don't. I just think back to not that long ago. 2 weeks and some change. We looked like an all-world operation against a Pittsburgh team on the road. Now, the Tucker Kraft component to that is in play, and I'm worried about that. That, to me, is the biggest question mark.
Mm-hmm.
But Matt LaFleur does have to do something different. You can't just say, well, this is what we do. Well, you don't have your George Kittle, good blocking, route running, yak guy. Like, it's just, it's a lot that you're missing. Mm-hmm. So instead of trying to force someone to replace that at the same position, Luke Musgrave's got a skill set, and he can make plays down the field. He got an important pass interference that led us to our only score. Utilize him in that way and start utilizing your young wideouts and your wide receivers in a way that is a little craftish. And please go tempo. Please, I'm begging you. Try it. It'll be fun, and it'll work.
One last question so we can get to Kohler Services and get to Evan Cohen. Is it possible? I saw him in the locker room again yesterday. Not Evan Cohen, the guy I'm about to mention. Is it possible that we underestimated, considering the dude led them in catches and yards each of the last two seasons, that we underestimated the loss of Jaden Reed to what
yes.
they try to do offensively?
Yeah. Yep. Is the leading receiver
hand
last
up.
Year, correct?
I'm guilty of that. I'm 100% guilty of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Yep.
I'm also guilty of having a bathroom that needs a remodel. And you know, when we do it, we're going to call Doug and Kohler Services.
Indeed. And if you're looking, what a great Christmas present. What a great idea for a Christmas present.
Or a Hansel and Gretel print.
An old shower bath that's just dated and stanky and blech. You know what? Get a hold of Kohler Services. Family owned for 150 years. Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life. And this month only, get $1,000 off your Lugstone shower remodel, and you'll have zero interest financing for 12 months. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote. And as always, fast, professional, great installation, always included. Again, that is KohlerServicesWI.com.
Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
I'm throwing caution. What's it gonna be? Tonight the winds of change are blowing wild and free. If I don't get out of this town.
Evan Cohen! What are you doing here on a Thursday? Well, we treated Tuesday like a Monday. We took calls because, as some of you may have heard, we very rarely take calls any other day than after games. And now we make a call to the host of Unsportsmanlike. It is Evan Cohen on Wilde and Tausch. Evco, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. How we doing?
Great to have you. Thanks for coming later in the week since we bumped you. Your view of the Green Bay Packers juxtaposed against your view of the Packers when you walked out of Thursday Night Football, when you and Smalls and Canty and the whole gang were here for their matchup with the Washington Commanders. You've had them on the hot mess list. Now they lost and scored 7 points.
They put them on the hot mess list again this week.
That's what
back
I'm saying.
To back
no
weeks.
Choice, I had to. Okay.
Tell us more.
Okay. Yeah, why?
Okay, Thursday night, Commanders game, walked out of that building saying they're unbeatable. Mm. After Sunday, Monday show, saying anyone could beat them, and maybe our entire viewpoint of the coach, quarterback, and organization is backwards. That's the difference between opinions. When I say backwards, we have this, well, Jordan Love, when he gets hot, can beat anybody and can play with anybody. How about the Jordan Love is the guy that could lose to anybody, not the guy that could beat anybody? Maybe we should start there. Maybe we should discuss the fact that fans and critics of the team always go to the place of, or those defending the team always go to the place of, well, second half of the season, Jordan Love. Playoff, Jordan Love. So now he's a seasonal quarterback? Is he a snowbird? He just comes down in December to Florida? What are we doing here?
Like that Halloween store that comes up. They throw those Halloween stores.
Yeah, exactly. That's a
pretty good line.
Exactly.
Snowbird.
I mean, well,
that's 6 months. LaFleur. Snowbirds.
Yeah. Not a day. Come on, Taos, you should know that. 6 months to a day. You're setting up for it. We all know.
No, there's a lot of Arizonans. There's a lot of snowbirds go Arizona. You don't get those tax breaks.
I know.
So, no,
I would
I'm not going to go
there. Same tax rules. It's not the same tax
rules. No, it's not. No.
Oh, really?
You're a Florida guy. You know Florida's your no tax. Arizona still taxes you. Come on.
All right. Well, then maybe you should go to Florida. You're probably more of a – you can get a room at Barry's house. Coach Alvarez, I'm sure, has a room for you, right?
Del Boca Vista.
Okay. He's sharing it with Jesse.
Let's say – you know what? Let's play something out. Couch. Let's say Alvarez calls you.
But can
let's
you
say
ask,
Alvarez
no,
calls
Je-
you.
Hey,
no,
Evan,
hold on. This
Evan.
Is a good hypothetical. Everybody will enjoy this. I promise you.
All right. Go ahead.
I promise you.
Okay.
Coach Alvarez calls you. And he says, Couch, I've known you for 20-plus years. You've been amazing to me and my family. You played for me. You hooked me up with ESPN Madison, where I have this amazing opportunity to be with Jesse Nelson every week. Why don't you come to Florida? Come to Florida for the weekend. Hang with my family and I. He says that.
Okay.
Do you stay at his house or do you get a hotel? What are you doing this, bud?
I'm getting a hotel.
What if he says, no, stay with me. We have a guest room. It's beautiful. Come on.
What if he has a guest cabana?
Guest cabana, yes. Guest room in his house, no.
No, I agree.
Casieta. If he has a casieta, yes. Guest room, no.
You need a separate residence.
So how do you find that information out? You're going to go to Zillow, or are you going to say to him, like, I don't know.
There's ways. Evco, there's ways you do that. You know
you
that.
Don't commit. You say, what do you got for
you
us?
You kind of back channel
a little
I'll
bit. Check.
Yeah. A little back
Cindy.
Or maybe you go.
Exactly. I have Sarah text Cindy and say, hey, what's the setup here? Because we'll be more than happy. That's what we would do. I'm not even thinking. We'd be fine with that.
What do you think? Cindy's not going to tell Barry what's going on behind the scenes?
I don't care if Cindy tells Barry now. I don't care if Cindy tells Barry now.
Somewhere in there was a Packers comment.
What would you do? Efco, what if Barry's like, God, you've been so good to the Wisconsin Badgers and you've developed so much talent here at ESPN Wisconsin. I want you. I know you have a place. You have three places in Florida. You got the big gated house up in Westchester County. But we want you to come down and spend a weekend with us. What are you going to do?
Well, first of all, I'd be so nervous because he's Barry Alvarez, and I'd be, like, nervous to even be around him. I think I would say, coach, don't worry. But then if he really insisted, and you want to find out the answer, I think I would say, coach, it's not right for me to just stay in your guest room. I'll get a hotel. No big deal. And then he'll inevitably come back with, well, no, wait a minute. We have a whole pool house for you. Oh, okay, coach, I'll stay. See, I would have done a better job than you. If you would have invoked
good job, Evan. You're such a pro.
Do you think he'd be like Saban in that commercial for Verbo?
That's such a good commercial where he sits there during it. Like, Jason? Would you stay? I think I'd still stay in the house. Like, if Saban is like, if that was the house I rented and Saban was there, I think I'd still stay there. No.
No showers longer than 5 minutes.
I'd follow all the rules. I'd be petrified.
Just for the stories, I would undeniably stay with Saban telling me what I could and couldn't do in his house, yes.
Back to your question. I told you that would be a good veer off there.
It was a great veer off.
Good job, Evan.
Yeah.
Good, really good job.
Boy, Tausch is in some mood today. That's very interesting.
Oh, he sure is.
I love the fact that bringing energy and enthusiasm, I am now cast aside as being moody or nervous. Or you guys are something else.
Nobody said you were moody. You're just in quite the mood.
I know your guys' coded language. I'm all over your coded language.
Yes, Evan and I have coded language.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah, that's us. Okay, so I left there thinking unbeatable. Now I think that we're looking at Jordan Love kind of maybe a little bit backwards. I don't like the idea of it being like a seasonal quarterback, so to speak. That doesn't make any sense to me in terms of, oh, he's good in the playoffs, good in this. Like, he's not there to be Robert Horry. He's not there to be the guy that can win 7 championships, but only as a contributor in the finals and playoffs. He's there for the full season. And I think that on our show this morning at 6:15 a.m., on ESPN Wisconsin, Dan Orlovsky and Chris Canty, I basically was able to put the ball on the tee and let them both swing away, and I thought the breakdown that they had back and forth was phenomenal because they both have different critiques of Love and of the floor. But if I could summarize, what Dan is saying is enough of the handcuffed offense, let him
let
loose.
Let it rip.
And LaFleur, anything that wrong, please take it, but let it rip. Because Dan's saying they're not risky enough. And Canty's saying, well, there's moments of sloppiness where he's missing players, he's fumbling the football at the end of the first half, he's doing things that are just sloppy. And I think they're actually very tied together, because even though they're kind of opposite, where what Dan's saying is you're not risky enough, and Canty's saying you're being too risky, one leads to another. So I think what's happening, or I think what they're saying is happening, in a way better than I do, is because they're not taking the risks, Jordan Love finds himself in a non-advantageous situation that causes him to miss receivers, fumble the football, and not necessarily be comfortable. But all of that, to me, guys, goes right back to the coach not putting the quarterback in the best position to succeed. So I do not think it is idiotic to talk about whether or not Matt LaFleur is coaching himself onto the hot seat or Jordan Love is playing his way onto us questioning whether or not the contract was worth it. And I do think through all of this, like any business in any walk of life, when successful employees work for a new boss, she or he is going to have every right to evaluate those employees as to whether or not they can be successful under their leadership, as we're seeing now with Ed Policy and obviously Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love. So my view of the Packers then versus now is almost completely opposite.
Yeah, I just wonder if our fans, and we heard right before you jumped on, Matt LaFleur talking about how he doesn't care if they win 3-0 or 49-48. I couldn't disagree more with him. I do think he does care about that. I just think we're having a hard time as fans getting our head wrapped around the fact that this team is going to be led, if they're going anywhere, by the defense. Not, even though he's a $55 million quarterback and we need him to play, we need the offense to obviously better than what it was on Monday, but it doesn't need to be 2011. We didn't win a championship in 2011 either. It doesn't need to be the Aaron Rodgers peak offense. It needs to complement the defense that we have, and this defense is championship caliber, and we're not used to that as fans. And that's what I think. Yes. There's some disconnect here.
So, Tausch, that point's a very good one. Yeah. Orlovsky, one of the other things he said was, let it rip and understand if it doesn't work out, you still have Micah Parsons to clean it up for you. Even if you throw a ball 30 yards.
What are you rolling your eyes about,
field,
old boy? Hey, hold up, Efco. Old eyeball roller over here is rolling his eyes as you're saying that. What are you rolling over there, old boy?
Well, who's the one who was asking about let it rip after the game on Sunday to both the coach and the quarterback?
Domofsky.
No.
Domofsky.
Nice try. Who remembers? Who remembers the conversation on this very show? You bring it up all the time about how LaFleur finally let Jordan Love let it rip in the second half of the 23 season. It was the Pittsburgh game where it began.
That's three seasons ago, man.
No,
it was.
I appreciate that Dan brought that up, but my question for both of you now is, since you brought up Dan's analysis, is Matt LaFleur not trusting enough of Jordan Love or unwilling to let him rip, let it rip like he did in 2023? Oh. Because to me, that's what this...
Wait a second. Jason, can I just ask a question on this?
Sure.
Did you just make, like, you can interrupt, it's your show. Did you interrupt me to redirect credit to you? Is that what just happened here?
He did. No, I can spell, he did, I mean, 100%.
Snap.
Who cares? But who cares if it's you or Domofsky? You guys are teammates. I mean, what's the difference?
My issue is the idea that LaFleur needs to let Love let it rip is not a new idea. It is something that occurred in 2023.
The Parsons part.
Yes.
That's right.
And I wanted to clarify that I think it's important to recognize
Go ahead.
Little Barry Horowitz. Pat yourself on the back. Old school WWE, WWE. Yeah. That's what you wanted to do?
Go ahead and clarify, attaboy. Clarify, attaboy.
Let me know when you two are done.
We're good. Go ahead, attaboy.
2035, maybe.
The big
attaboy. Yeah. You know, that I was on the air interviewing Dan Orlovsky today. No big deal. Barry Horowitz myself here.
So,
I think why this is important and why what Dan Orlovsky said to you when you expertly crafted that interview is important.
Thank you, Jason.
Because of the Micah Parsons piece, why is he doing the same thing that we talked about being an issue that he acknowledged was an issue in 2023? He was afraid of a first-year quarterback making mistakes, so he didn't let him let it rip. Once he did, look at the results. They're dealing with these two deep safeties. They're playing conservative, cautiously, running the ball a lot, not wanting him to take chances, certainly not throwing enough intermediate routes. Why isn't he letting him let it rip after he learned a lesson the first time? And to Canty's point, or to Orlovsky's point, now they've got a defense that if he makes a mistake, they've got a better chance of surviving it than when they had Joe Barry's defense. I think this is a great conversation, which is why I interrupted.
So, Jason, why isn't he letting him let it rip? Why
I don't know.
He,
that's
Jason?
One of the other good things question. I want to ask you.
Good attaboy. Good question. Good
so you had him yesterday.
I asked him.
You're talking about pizza parlors.
I don't.
You know what I mean?
I only get so many questions.
Attaboy. Come on, attaboy.
And no, I did
that,
ask
that
after
Domofsky
the game.
If Wildy's not going to ask it. Ask Domofsky.
Let's not get Jason all rattled here.
I'm not rattled.
Jason.
I'm good.
I know you're not.
I don't think I'll be there for his next two press conferences because they're during the show. But I do think the let it rip thing, which I did ask about after the game, I would like to revisit that in some form or fashion.
Yeah.
Because I do think that that is one of multiple reasons, in my opinion, chief among them their offensive line play, that their offense has not been what it is capable of being. Yes.
Yeah, and that Jason, that was another thing that Orlovsky brought up in terms of that. But how about this? A hot take question. Which is normally a hot take of the statement. This is more of a hot take question. When Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love were on the team together, that final year when they lost the Lions at home, and then the next year, obviously, you know, it's Jordan Love's team, many people that were Packers supporters said, well, you know what? There's a chance they may have two guys on that roster that could win them a Super Bowl. Is there a chance they actually had zero guys on that roster that could win them a Super Bowl? It's a wild question to ask, but if Jordan
you're saying
Love
at that
this,
point,
at no, that but I'm point. Saying like Packers had the ultimate luxury. They had a four-time MVP, first ballot Hall of Famer, Super Bowl winner. Well, if anyone doesn't vote for the Hall of Fame, they should have their vote taken away. In Aaron Rodgers, like surefire, wasn't as good then as he was previously, but was still very good. There was a thought, well, give Rodgers this, that, the other thing, you'd still win you a Super Bowl. The counter was, give this young man Jordan Love, who's crazy talented, got all the tools in the world, character through the roof on and off the field. Give him all those things, and he can win a Super Bowl. And different people thought two different guys on the same exact team could ultimately win them another Super Bowl. And the results playing out feel like the question can be asked, maybe neither could have won them a Super Bowl.
I had not thought of it from that perspective.
Neither had I until these last couple of games have been such a gut punch, and I'm not even a Packers fan, but it's a gut. I'm not anti at all. It's a gut punch amongst the opinions that I had. Like, what world was I? I don't drink. I've never been drunk in my life. I've never been high in my life. Like, what was I just not watching the game on that Thursday night that I was sitting there thinking that team was a bunch of ass kickers? Because now, looking back on it, maybe the bad take has nothing to do with the Packers. It has everything to do with the Commanders, and like they're actually really bad. But man, oh man! I mean, you go from remember the Brown again. I'm going to reference Tausch after the Browns game. I thought I had a great point.
Yep.
Good, not a bad blip on the radar. Wake up call. Yep. Well, then you have the Panthers game, and you're like, oh wait, I thought that was the what happened
that
there. And then you score
blip,
7 points. Right, and then you score 7 points against the Eagles. I know that the defending champs in the one seed, but man, oh man, something's wrong. I don't know what it is. Maybe it is the letter rip, and that changes everything. That also obviously inevitably causes more turnovers, which a lot of the people like Orlovsky don't actually care about. I am risk averse, so I do care about. This is a conundrum I did not see coming.
So, Evan, let me ask you this then, because the Buffalo Bills started 4-0, they lost to your Patriots, and then they lost to the Falcons. Then you think they got things fixed. They beat the Chiefs, right?
Good
and
point.
Then they lose
good
to
one.
The Dolphins.
Yep.
Are they kind of kindred spirits in your mind, these two teams, that you feel like they should be better than they are, and you're trying to figure out why they're not?
Jason, pat yourself on the back. Barry Horowitz, that's an attaboy.
Attaboy.
Attaboy. That's an excellent comparison. There you go. Now, let's shoot it down a little bit.
Okay.
Because it is a great comparison, and you are absolutely right to compare the losses, etc. But let's talk about what the Bills have that the Packers would be jealous of, and that is an MVP for Josh Allen, which Jordan Love does not feel like an MVP candidate, and really the way he's been playing, it doesn't feel like he's going to ultimately emerge into being an MVP candidate. Now, that's too grand of a statement, but when you think of top line of resume for a coach and quarterback, you're thinking of, for the quarterback, MVP and Super Bowl appearance / Super Bowl win. When you think about a coach, at least conference championship or Super Bowl appearance. And so LaFleur has a conference championship appearance, so does McDermott. Allen has an MVP. Jordan Love doesn't have any of the things that I'm saying, because I don't look at – a title game appearance, yes, quarterbacks should get credit, but that's, you're not getting in the Hall of Fame for that. So I think it is a good comp, but I think Buffalo is ahead of Green Bay.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Come on now. Come on now. Buffalo's defense isn't even in the same league as Green Bay.
No, Tausch. I'm not talking about
come
better
on, man.
Team this year. I'm talking about
you just said it.
Quarterback. I'm saying coach quarterback accomplishment together. What Josh Allen and Sean McDermott have done is better than what LaFleur and Love have done historically.
Well,
by
those
the way,
guys have been together 7 years, right, man.
Yeah, okay. Are your two guys going to be together 7 years?
I don't know. Should Sean McDermott still be together with Josh Allen? That's a better question to me than that.
Right. I think what we're going to have this year.
Let me know.
What do you mean no? What do you mean no? Confusing answer.
Hold up a second. Because Buffalo has owned a division like New England did, and they got Bupkis out of it. They haven't even made a Super Bowl. And they've had great quarterback
play.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I don't think Sean McDermott should be the coach.
Doesn't sound like it. What?
What the hell are you talking about?
Exactly. I could agree more.
You guys are like Jerry and George.
Scenario across the league where there are multiple coaches who are a head coach of one team on a Tuesday and a head coach of another team on a Wednesday. And Matt LaFleur is on that list of coaches for me. Where I could see him as the Packers head coach on a Tuesday, they mutually part ways, and he's the Titans head coach on a Wednesday.
Hmm.
What the hell are you talking about? If there's a bunch of coaches that if they get fired, they're going to have a job from somebody else the next day. Sean McVay, Shanahan. There's a bunch.
They're not getting fired. But they're not getting fired. Do you think there is a chance?
They're not getting fired.
Oh, now we're going to do the voice thing.
Shanahan? Okay. If Shanahan misses the playoffs... Shanahan misses the playoffs with San Francisco. I think he's just as likely to get fired if LaFleur doesn't make the playoffs with Green Bay.
He's been to two Super Bowls.
And won any. That's 3 years ago. They haven't made a playoff in 3 years either.
Tausch.
Nobody cares about 3 years ago anymore, bro. Nobody cares. Tausch. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl, got fired 2 seasons later. Nobody cares. What have you done for me lately? Yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to ask you this question. You texted me the other day to confirm something. You said, did you say, this is last week, did you say the Packers are going to miss the playoffs? I said, no. I said that they're hovering around the conversation of that we have to ask that question. If the Green Bay Packers miss the playoffs, is Matt LaFleur 100% the coach of the team next year?
100% no.
So
not 100% no, he's definitely not the coach. You're saying it's not 100% that he's the coach of the team.
I would say he'd still be 80-ish percent. Yeah, I think there's a chance.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I agree.
Sean McDermott misses the playoff, he gone.
I agree with you. I think if Sean McDermott doesn't win a playoff game, he could be gone. I think if Sean McDermott
Kyle Shanahan, San Fran,
game.
Missed the playoffs. He gone?
No, because that is a depleted team, including the quarterback this year.
Oh, well, they're depleted last year. At some point, depletion makes it incompletion.
That's not as good as you thought it was going to be when you were formulating that.
What the hell?
Struggling to find another word that rhymed.
Those Sean words are tough.
I have to admit, Evan, you got to yell with Evan or you're going to miss out.
Evan,
before you go, did you have a problem with the Wisconsin Badgers student section and fans coming out on the field? Because I played some euchre last night, and I had a couple of folks I was playing with that thought it was absurd, and I told them they're buffoons. So I'm curious if I'm going to call you a buffoon as we let you go, or if you're going to embrace the fun of winning a game against a top 25 team. Where do you come down as a distinguished alum? Well,
that's an unbiased question.
Well, don't worry. I'm a buffoon.
Okay,
I act as if Washington, my friend is the AD. They've had a great season there. He was texting me pictures before the game on the field. They didn't text anything after the game, I'll tell you that much.
you got him.
This is Wisconsin football. We win Rose Bowls. We compete for the Big Ten. We have the best football program and the best town around. We don't celebrate a home win against a 23rd-ranked team. What we should say is, all right, next week's game or the week after, so who's next? On the Cincinnati should be the mentality. And for us to celebrate as if we're some, you know, D3 school getting a win is a joke. So I'm with your friends. I don't like us rushing the field after a win against Washington. Give me a break. I don't want us. How about this, Tausch? I wouldn't want us rushing the field against Ohio State. I'm not giving in to acknowledge that any Big Ten program is better than ours. And that's what the fans did.
I could not disagree with you more, but that's what makes
I was expecting. This country. Why? Today. Yes, thank you.
Why? Because sports are about overcoming. It's about the overarching thing. This season has been brutal for the coaches, for the players, for the fans. And it is sleeting out. It's 30 degrees. Fans stuck through. Nobody thought we were going to win. And they found a way to win a game and break this, I think, almost a full year since we won a Big Ten game. And you're not going to let guys let off a little steam and enjoy themselves and let the moment. Everybody in that stadium will remember that game and that moment. and it was a great visual. And I'm guessing maybe some of these recruits that are signing up that were here thought, boy, it has been a tough year, but this group is stuck together, and they found a way, and they're going to celebrate, and maybe this is turning a corner. No, you guys run back into the locker room and get some bone broth and get ready to go beat Indiana. Get the blank out
That's
of
right.
here. Enjoy yourselves
oh,
and
okay.
celebrate.
All right.
You celebrate the wins in life. You don't just pass them by. Otherwise, what the heck are you doing? Does that sum it up for you,
so
J-Dub?
How was it?
Yes.
How was it on the field?
That.
How was it on the field for
awesome.
You guys when you ran down?
It was awesome. That's what.
You were
the
on the field?
The fans loved it. We all loved it. I wasn't on the field. I was watching it. I'll be honest, I felt awesome for everybody there. And as Matt LaPay said it at the end, could not have put it in better terms, as he always does. It was good for the soul, man. The soul of Wisconsin football is beaten into the dirt. And this
Chicken
was a
soup.
Rising up. So let's enjoy it and then move along after. But don't just say, oh, we're better. No. Enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're
That's a
you're
win for me and a big loss for you.
Evco, yeah,
that is
no,
a big L for you if you know it.
Here's what we learned. Jason, here's what we learned.
Why don't you run in and get your bone broth? Now, go get your bone broth and get ready for
my
Indiana. We're going to celebrate.
Attaboy.
Nah. My viewpoint and my belief in my school is greater than that of Tausch's. That's what you learned.
No,
though.
You're just I'm not even going to go down that road.
Yeah, you're
you're
right.
an old fudder dudder.
Yeah, right.
You are a fudder dudder.
Go
boo. You're a fudder dudder. Yeah. Go boo. Go bone broth in a locker room. How's that?
Go broth in a locker. Is that the equivalent to boo in a bar? Go broth in a locker room? If you're mad at
Seems
a player,
like it
go
for
broth
you.
In a locker room.
Come on, I'm on to Indiana. We don't celebrate victories here. We just go about our business. Get out of here.
Bring on Mendoza. That should be the mentality. Watch tape as soon as that game ends.
Okay.
Go boo in a bar.
Just to clarify, when you proclaim how you dominated Evco on that take, is that not patting yourself on the back?
Yeah, Barry Hall.
No, it's stating a fact.
Oh, okay.
Boom. Yeah,
I just wanted to clarify. Evan, this was really fun. We're glad we had you. Since we didn't have you on Tuesday, this was enjoyable. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Go broth in a locker room.
Go boo in a bar.
We still have one segment left of the 10 o'clock hour. We'll get to it next, so please stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Thanks, as always, to Evan Cohen for adjusting his schedule and joining us today. All right, tell me a little bit more about your euchre playing. First of all, couldn't find enough people to play Sheep's Head? Because I thought that's your game.
It is my game. No, we had enough, but we played some euchre and a little dirty clubs.
Dirty clubs.
A coach that I respect, he coaches in town, said it was he was really disappointed that we did that. And I said, well, what I don't understand is I know there's standards and we have these beliefs, but it's been a while, man.
And it's been a while.
One of the things you need in a program is some enthusiasm and a little juice and just some vibes, some good vibes. It's been a tough year. We all know that. And the coaches and players put a lot into this. And when you're getting beaten around, it can be pretty demoralizing. And when you finally keep your nose down and you just keep fighting and something good happens, why on earth would you bypass celebrating and enjoying that to go get a cup of bone broth in your locker room and then go home? That to me is just absurd. So I thought that was a special moment in a really crummy year, and I'm glad everybody enjoyed it. I'm glad there's only one. These guys only got one more game at Camp Randall. Yep. A lot of these guys, that's going to be it. And they've had, most of these seniors have not had a ton of success here.
No, they have not.
So maybe this moment will be something they all remember and their families will remember and this coaching staff will remember as, man, everybody was against us. Everybody thought we stunk and we beat a top 25 Big Ten team. I think that's awesome. And I can't get my head wrapped around why other people don't.
So I understand the point being made. It's not, you know, knocking off the number one team. You know, it's not beating, you know, sadly, Michigan in 1993 when we had everything that happened there. It's not, I understand it's not of that same ilk that generally merits storming the field. But I never quite understand the fun police that, whether it's that or the court after a basketball game, like, other than the inherent dangers of crashing into a key player and him suffering an injury, let him enjoy the moment. And especially, to your point, the players. Like, do I think Washington is one of the 24 best teams in the country? I do not. Do I think the weather, circumstances, quality of the opponent coming across the country helped result in a victory for Luke Fickle and company? I do. But they won the game. You play to win the game. Did they win the game with their punter as their leading passer?
They did.
They did. I get it. But again, in a desert of success, they finally got to an oasis for one night and one night only.
You really wanted to get the Oasis line.
I did, because I know you appreciate a good Oasis.
I do. Like, what's that song? What's Oasis's top song?
You're my Wonderwall.
Oh, Wonderwall. Yep. Wonderwall. Yep. Good tune.
So, let's read something from Jeff, the FedEx guy, on the Carbless Talk and Text line, and then we really do need to get to a break. Completely on Team Tausch. I agree with Tausch.
Let's go.
On the storming of the field, we win Big Ten championships. We go to Rose Bowls when 2012, that was 13 years ago. We haven't won jack of significance in the last decade, so yes, it is a big deal. Well, I disagree with in the last decade. That still covers the Crist era. And
since
they did
COVID.
Some...
Since COVID.
Yeah, that's better.
COVID didn't count.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
2019, we were
you
in the Rose Bowl.
You haven't won a Big Ten game in 10 tries, I believe. Yeah, again, I understand the thought process. I don't disagree with the mentality of, you know, act like you've been there and all that other stuff. But this is different, man. It had been too long. And I don't have any problem with that at all. And I don't – the biggest thing, you can say what you want about the students, whatever. Let the guys enjoy it. Let the players enjoy it, because they have not had enough moments during this regime to feel that way. You should also enjoy a better night's sleep, because better sleep has been hard to come by for me and many others, but we're not alone. And the right mattress can make all the difference. That's why Helix Sleep and Steinhoffels have teamed up to bring you their award-winning mattresses at Steinhoffels. Now you can try Helix in person, something you can't just do anywhere. And right now, Steinhoffels is offering 20% off all of their Helix mattress orders just for our Wildy and Tausch listeners. So head on over to steinhoffels.com to learn more. Helix Sleep at Steinhoffels. Better sleep starts now. The 10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch starts not at now, but in 2 minutes. So stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.